4 WMRA News. I'm Bob Levickin. Virginia's governor delivers his State of the Commonwealth address and gets applause from even some Republicans as he proposes decriminalizing marijuana. As the General Assembly convenes, many lawmakers are already eyeing elections in November. And we have a look at the Port of Virginia, the fifth busiest in the nation. This is the WMRA Daily for Thursday, January 10th.
Support for the WMRA Daily comes from the shops at Stonefield at Route 29 and Hydraulic Road in Charlottesville, featuring a collection of shopping, dining, and entertainment experiences with parking available. Learn more at shopsatstonefield.com.
Virginia's governor delivered his State of the Commonwealth address Wednesday night. He got consistent applause from lawmakers in both parties by focusing on bipartisan successes from last year, such as expanding Medicaid and rolling back regulations. Virginia Public Radio's Mallory Nopane reports.
Looking ahead to this year, Governor Ralph Northam veered into slightly more progressive policy. He announced support for decriminalizing marijuana, codifying a woman's right to make her own healthcare choices, and passing regulations to reduce gun deaths.
I recognize that this is a topic where it has been difficult to have meaningful dialogue. Dialogue, by its definition, is an exchange of ideas and opinions in order to resolve a problem. I hope we can all agree that, yes, we have a problem.
Northam did not mention the divisive political issue of redistricting. That's looming large over upcoming state elections.
I'm not going to pretend that there won't be 140 campaigns to run after we adjourn here. Not mine. But this isn't Washington. We come to Richmond to do the people's work. And there's a lot we can accomplish together.
Northam said lawmakers can work together on creating economic opportunity, giving teachers a raise, and keeping more people out of jail. In Richmond, I'm Mallory Nopane.
One of the proposals from Governor Northam is getting a skeptical reception from some in the General Assembly. Northam wants to follow the lead of several other states by decriminalizing marijuana. When he mentioned the proposal in his speech to lawmakers Wednesday night, even some Republicans applauded, but House Speaker Republican leader Todd Gilbert says the idea will not have much traction in the GOP-controlled General Assembly.
There are states who have gotten way ahead of themselves on this issue that are now grappling with the effects of it, and Virginia needs to be very careful about not repeating those same mistakes, and we should, in my opinion, we should continue to allow those other states to try to find a model moving forward for that particular issue, particular substance.
Even if lawmakers are not able to come to a conclusion on the issue, both sides can take it to voters in the election later this year. Every seat in the House and Senate will be on the ballot in November. Reaction to some of the other issues in the governor's State of the Commonwealth address fell along partisan lines. Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope reports.
Republicans have a mixed response to Governor Ralph Northam's message to lawmakers in his 2019 State of the Commonwealth address. They love the parts where he was talking about economic development and bringing jobs to Virginia. But when he started talking about social issues, that's where they parted ways. Here's the reaction of State Senator David Sutterline of Roanoke County.
There's a lot of great calls for bipartisanship in between his comments in support of abortion and increased gun regulation.
Democrats were thrilled with the speech, especially the governor's call to decriminalize possession of marijuana. Here's Senate Democratic leader Dick Sassoli.
You put people in prison because they're dangerous to society, not because you're pissed off at them. Okay?
Lawmakers are only here for 2 months, but Governor Northam is planning a full agenda. Everything from extending high-speed internet access in rural areas to allowing no-excuse absentee voting.
Well, as lawmakers assemble in Richmond this week, many of them are already looking ahead to November. Michael Pope has that story.
It's an election year for the General Assembly, and every member of the House and Senate will be on the ballot this year. That means one thing during the session, brochure bills. Democratic Delegate Mark Levine acknowledges all lawmakers are thinking about the upcoming election.
And sometimes that might mean introducing a bill that you know and everybody knows won't get passed, right?
I'll give you an example of one. I have introducing a bill to end the Electoral College. I think presidents should be decided by the popular vote. I happen to believe in a democracy the people should decide. I expect that bill to be killed.
And
voting against one of those brochure bills can also help in a campaign. Republican delegate Terry Kilgore, Southwest Virginia, has already identified one of his targets.
There's some things, you know, like doing away with right to work and things of that nature. That's in our best interest to make sure that doesn't pass, because we think the business community would be much better served with a right to work.
It's interesting. You bring up one of their bills as one of your brochure bills. So you're eager to kill it so you can go on the campaign trail.
I am eager on that one.
The primary election is only 3 months after the end of the session this year. Reporting from the Capitol in Richmond, Michael Pope.
A push for Virginia to become the 38th state to ratify the Equal Rights Amendment has cleared its first legislative hurdle. On Wednesday, a state Senate committee voted in favor of legislation to approve the Gender Equality Amendment. That legislation still has to be voted on by the full Senate and the House, and it is unclear if there are enough votes in the GOP-controlled General Assembly for the measure to pass. But that would mean the ERA has reached the threshold for ratification, but not by the 1982 deadline set by Congress. So there is debate over whether the ERA can be revived. Experts say a legal battle will likely ensue if Virginia were to ratify the amendment. Finally today, Virginia has the nation's fifth busiest port, serving an average of 40 ships each week and connecting more than 200 countries. And despite talk of trade wars in Washington, the place is poised to grow. Virginia Public Radio's Sandy Hausman reports.
The Port of Virginia is a massive operation, spreading over nearly 2,000 acres. It was the first to accept enormous new ships from China in 2016, when they passed through a newly widened Panama Canal. At the time, Virginia had the deepest shipping channel on the East Coast, so a ship's keel could go down 50 feet without hitting the bottom. Today, CEO John Reinhart says other ports have caught up.
So now you have 50 feet going to 52 in Charleston. You got Savannah going to 47, but with a 7-foot tide, they say they're 54 feet deep. You have New York and New Jersey now that's at 50 feet, and they raised the Bayonne Bridge to get the ultra-large container ships in.
But he's confident Virginia can compete.
You're never going to take the cargo out of New York that is consumed in the New York and New Jersey area. They got 44 million consumers up there, so that freight's got to go there. But you know what? Freight going anywhere else in this country could come here.
That's because the port just invested in four new cranes that stand 170 feet tall. That's the height of a 12-story building, bigger than any others on the East Coast. And they bring to 30 the number of cranes now available to load and unload ships. Because Virginia has no overhead bridges to block tall cargo, the cranes arrived in one piece.
Like in New York, they're assembling two cranes. It'll take them 6 months to a year to get those cranes ready. We'll be able to go live in about 8 weeks.
And as cargo containers are moved off ships, they can continue their trip by barge.
In 2008, there was a desire to try to see if they could create a marine highway. There were no ships calling Richmond Marine Terminal, but they started with a little barge that was running once a week, like 150 containers in the first year.
By 2018, 30,000 containers were traveling by barge annually, and with the addition of a new one this year, Reinhart predicts Virginia will double the cargo heading for its capital.
That's 120,000 trucks that don't have to go up and down Route 64. So you reduce your carbon impact, and then you do shorter deliveries around Richmond by truck.
Other shippers will opt for travel by train, using rail lines from Norfolk to the inland port of Front Royal. And Reinhart adds the Port of Virginia is poised to take one more step, dredging the shipping channel down to 55 feet and widening it so two ships can pass at the same time. China is, for now, the port's biggest customer. And with all the talk of trade wars, you might expect some concern about excess capacity. But Reinhart feels sure more cargo will be coming and going from Virginia.
Some of the manufacturing has already started to migrate to Southeast Asia and Vietnam, Indonesia, around to India. So you have some other outlets that are going to still produce. And if you think about the evolution going on in India, the population will exceed that of China. Africa continues to be an area of growth. Global population is still growing. And 50% of the world's population now is middle class or above. That means consumers globally.
So this year, the port will celebrate the 10-year anniversary of its barge service. 30 years of rail traffic to Front Royal, along with $26 million in improvements there. The addition of giant cranes and plans to dredge and widen the shipping lanes. Confident that it's poised for the future. In Norfolk, I'm Sandy Houseman.
For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your Thursday.